Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving deep into something, well, something really foundational to presentation, to confidence, that I think most men just guess at their hair.
Exactly. Just guesswork.
You might think, okay, I have straight hair,
yeah,
or I have curly hair. But what we found so fascinating in the material is this detailed scientific classification, the 1-4 C chart.
Right.
And it should completely change how you approach everything, washing, styling, the products you buy.
This deep dive, it's not just about aesthetics.
No, not at all. It's about confident, optimized hair management. Mm. Our mission today is really to translate that guide, that type 1-4 C system, into specific things you can actually do.
Actionable insights.
Yes, we're moving past those vague labels that, you know, lead to a bathroom shelf full of wasted products.
We've all been there.
By understanding the core mechanics of your hair, we're giving you a shortcut to unlocking what your natural texture can really do.
So let's start at the structural level then.
Yeah.
The science behind what kind of hair you actually have. The fundamental principle from what we learned driving this whole typing system is the shape of the hair strand itself,
which is determined by the hair follicle. It all starts under the skin.
Okay.
Precisely. If you look at the sort of the geometry happening beneath the scalp, that's where you find the real scientific distinction.
So what's the difference?
Well, the finding is that for type 1, that straight hair, the follicles tend to be perfectly round, or at least highly symmetrical.
A round hole creates a straight strand.
That's a great way to think about it,
yeah.
Yeah.
It allows the hair strand to grow out straight, and it gets maximum surface contact with the scalp.
And I'm guessing as we move up the chart, that symmetry, it starts to break down.
It completely breaks down. When you look at follicles for type 3 curly hair and type 4 coily hair, they're often oval.
Oh, interesting.
Or even asymmetrical, almost flat. That lopsided structure is what physically forces the hair to bend and twist and coil as it grows.
So the more asymmetrical the follicle,
the tighter the curl pattern, exactly.
That insight alone is huge. But the guys we analyzed really hammered home another factor. Porosity.
Yes. Porosity.
Can you break down why that matters so much?
Porosity is key because it basically defines your care plan.
Okay.
Simply put, it's your hair's ability to absorb, and this is the important part, retain moisture.
Absorb and retain.
Right. Think of the outer layer of your hair, the cuticle, like the shingles on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
High porosity means those shingles are raised.
The hair sucks up water fast, but it loses it just as fast.
A low porosity.
The shingles are packed tight. It's hard to get water in, but once it's in, it is locked down.
See, that seems so counterintuitive to me. I always thought if my hair absorbs water quickly, that's a good thing.
It's a common misconception, but that rapid absorption is really a warning sign for rapid loss.
And this is where that immediate payoff comes in, right?
Yeah.
Avoiding those mistakes.
Yes. This is where you save money. If you have low porosity hair and you try to use these heavy, thick butters, they're just going to sit on top.
Weigh it down.
Just weigh it down. You've wasted your money on a product your hair is literally rejecting. On the flip side, with high porosity, you need sealants, you need long-term hydrators, or your hair will just feel dry constantly.
No matter what you do.
No matter how much water you put on it. So yeah, understanding that absorption rate is the key to picking the right product.
Okay, so we've got the why. Follicle shape gives us the curl. Porosity tells us how to hydrate it. Let's connect this to that 1-4 system. Here's where it gets really interesting. We're using the 4 main categories.
Mm-hmm. Straight, wavy, curly, and coily. Let's start with type 1. Straight hair. The guides all point to one major challenge here. Oil.
Absolutely. Because the type 1 hair strand is so straight, there's this super efficient pathway for the natural oil from your scalp, the sebum, to travel right down the strand.
A super highway for oil.
It is. Which is great for shine, but it means type 1 hair can look oily or flat very, very quickly.
So the impulse is just to wash it every day.
Mm.
Maybe even twice a day.
Uh-huh.
But the data shows that can really backfire.
It's a constant battle. Regular washing might be necessary, but the key is using a non-stripping shampoo.
Why is that so important?
If you use harsh detergents too often, you strip away all the oil. Your scalp panics and goes into overdrive, producing even more oil to compensate.
It's a cruel cycle.
It really is.
And for styling type 1, the goal is to avoid weighing it down.
Exactly. You want to maintain that natural sleekness. So lightweight water-based conditioners are your friend. If you use oils or creams, they have to be feather light.
No heavy pomades.
No, anything heavy will just instantly flatten the look. Greasy, not glossy.
Okay, let's move on to type 2, the wavy category. This covers 2A, 2B, 2C, and it's
often misunderstood, but it's so versatile.
Type type 2 really does walk the line. It's got enough of a bend that as a pattern to have a body, but it's not a full curl, and it requires this really specific balancing act. It's prone to two things: becoming flat and lifeless if you over-moisturize it,
right,
or becoming a frizzy mess if you under-moisturize it.
The challenge for men with type 2, then, is getting definition without that crunchy, stiff feeling. Mm-hmm. What did the guide suggest?
It's all about enhancement and controlled volume. For the looser waves, like 2A, a seesaw spray is fantastic.
Adds some grit.
It does. It encourages the wave pattern. As you get into 2C, which has tighter waves, you need a bit more moisture. Maybe a light mousse or a defining cream applied when the hair is soaking wet.
So the product has to enhance the pattern without
causing buildup that pulls the waves down. Hmm. And hydrating, sulfate-free shampoos are essential here to fight frizz before it even starts.
Now we get into the high moisture demand territory. Type 3,
curly, and type 4, coily.
Yes.
We're grouping them because their primary shared struggle is just chronic dryness.
Dryness is the defining factor, and it comes right back to the science we talked about.
The follicle shape.
The follicle shape. Because the type 3 curls and type 4 coils are so tightly structured, the sebum from the scalp just struggles to follow all their short bends and coat the hair strand.
So the oil gets bottlenecked at the root.
That's a good way to describe it. It's bottlenecked. This means the ends are chronically dry, which leads to frizz, breakage, tangling.
All the things you don't want.
Right.
Yeah.
For type 3, you're looking at loose spirals up to tight corkscrews. For type 4, you're dealing with dense, tighter coils that often shrink a lot. Both of them just demand proactive moisture.
So we're talking heavy crims, thick leave-ins.
A serious commitment to deep conditioning, absolutely.
And the sources heavily emphasize protective styles, especially for type 4.
Why is that so critical?
Protective styles, so things like braids or twists, they're vital because they minimize manipulation.
Hands off.
Hands off. Type 4 hair, especially 4C,
is the most fragile because of how tight the coils are. Every time you comb it, you're risking breakage. Protective styling lets the hair rest, retain moisture, and grow without that daily stress.
Okay, so we've covered the main four, but to really get this right, we have to talk about the subtypes. 2A, 3B, 4C, and so on. The source material was clear. The difference between two neighboring subtypes can be the difference between a great hair day and a total disaster.
It absolutely can. The main types give you the highway, but the subtypes, they give you the street address for your hair care.
I like that analogy.
Let's take the jump from 3B to 3C. It's a perfect example. 3B curls are generally defined. They're springy. 3C, though, is tighter, denser, and often thicker.
So what does that jump in density and tightness actually mean for the products you should be buying?
A huge difference. A guy with 3B hair might do great with a moisturizing milk or a light lotion, something to give definition without too much weight.
But for 3C?
A man with 3C
curls will likely find that milk just vanishes, it evaporates. Because of the density, 3C hair demands a thicker product. A curl butter, a heavy custard, something to really clump the curls and lock in moisture.
That level of specificity is what makes this work.
It's everything.
So how can someone listening accurately find their place on this chart?
The best way is visual identification, but also understanding your density. The charts we reviewed have close-up pictures, right? They give you guidelines based on curl width. Is it the size of a sidewalk chalk, a marker, or a pencil? But then you also have to assess density.
I need to do that.
Look in the mirror. Can you easily see your scalp through your hair? If not, you have high density, which means you probably need more product and more intensive moisture.
While digging through all this, the data consistently flagged a couple of big misunderstandings we should probably clear up.
Yes. The first one is a big one. The idea that your hair
fits neatly into one single box.
It doesn't always.
It rarely does. Many men have mixed hair types. You might have 3B curls at the crown of your head and looser
2C waves near your temples.
And if you use one routine for your whole head,
one section is always going to suffer. You need a combo approach.
And the other misconception is that hair texture is set in stone for life.
This raises an important question. Why does hair change? Because it's not static at all. It can change radically over time.
What causes that?
It could be hormonal shifts, damage from heat, or chemicals, or even major lifestyle changes. Your diet, your age.
So a guy who had, say, 2B waves in college might find himself with frizzier 2C or even loose 3A curls in his 30s.
Exactly. And if you're suddenly finding your old products aren't working, it might not be the product. It might be that your hair is morphing.
Which means you have to reassess.
You have to reassess every so often. Staying rigid in your routine is just a recipe for frustration.
So what does this all mean? let's shift from the why to the how, the daily routine.
Great.
Let's summarize those customized type-specific tips.
We can break it down by the main problem each type faces. For type one, it's about staying clean without stripping your hair.
So maybe you don't wash every single day.
Try to limit it to every other day if you can.
Yeah.
Rely on a good dry shampoo between washes and stick to those light water-based styling products.
Okay. And for the wavy and curly guys, type two and three.
The routine is all about hydration and fighting frizz. Consistently use sulfate-free shampoos. They clean without being too aggressive.
And for styling.
Apply your products like curl creams or gels when your hair is still wet. That locks in the curl pattern as it dries.
And for type 4, the high-stakes routine.
For type 4, you absolutely need a weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, deep conditioning treatment. That's non-negotiable.
And minimal manipulation.
Minimal manipulation. Focus on those protective styles like twists or coils. And sleep on a satin or silk pillowcase so it doesn't suck the moisture out of your hair overnight.
Beyond the routines, the guides also hit on common challenges. And hair loss is always number one.
It is. And while genetics are a huge driver, stress and improper care can definitely speed it up.
So what are the solutions?
The recommendations really focus on minimizing stress on the follicle, so avoid super tight hairstyles that pull on the roots, switch to gentle, fortifying shampoos, and a light scalp massage just for a minute in the shower can really help stimulate blood flow.
Okay, let's talk more about dryness, especially for type 3 and 4, since it's just relentless for them.
The battle against dryness is won in layers.
Layers.
First, deep conditioning, like we said. Second, a leave-in conditioner right after you wash while the hair is still damp. And third, the sealing strategy.
What's that?
Using light oil, like jojoba or grapeseed, after the leave-in, it creates a barrier that locks the moisture inside.
So the leave-in provides moisture, the oil seals it in.
That's the key distinction, yes.
And now, back to the type 1 problem. Managing that oiliness without causing the rebound effect.
It's such a balancing act.
The guides caution against over-cleansing.
So don't use a harsh shampoo every day.
Right. Try alternating with a gentler shampoo.
Yeah.
And only use a strong clarifying shampoo maybe once or twice a month.
And why is that?
If you constantly strip all the oil, your scalp gets a signal that it's too dry, and it will aggressively produce even more sebum. You make the problem worse.
Sounds like the goal, really, for every type is just cooperation. You have to work with your hair's natural properties.
Not fight against them. That's it exactly. If there is one synthesized, confident takeaway from this entire deep dive, it's this. Knowing your hair type, your subtype, and its porosity is the one thing that will let you escape that cycle of trial and error. This knowledge lets you choose products, lets you implement styles that truly enhance your natural texture, and that leads to immediate confidence and much healthier hair.
And as we leave you today, let's revisit that idea that your hair care journey is not
static.
Right.
We learned that diet, hormones, aging, they can all subtly shift your hair texture over the years. And that should really make you think about your total wellness.
It's all connected.
It is. So the question for you to mull over is, what is your current overall health and lifestyle? Your stress, your diet, your hydration? What does that say about your hair texture right now? Your hair is a living indicator. And keeping that 1-4 C chart in mind